The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Steve Acosta.
I'm with Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Oh, somebody's in the jungle.
Beach.
I knew he was. Welcome, everyone. Glad you joined us. We're here talking home improvement. John's off today. He'll be back next week. But in the meanwhile, take advantage of our monthly guest and give us a call, 704-570-1110. I think we're in the cooling season, are we not?
We are definitely in air conditioning season, and next week will be a test.
Yes. Yeah, going to be in the high 90s, so that's it. There we go. Thank you. I don't know what
that... Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning. Zeke, is that you?
I can hear you guys, but I could not hear Scott.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get that figured out. There's something going on in the background somewhere. So we'll see if we can tune that out. So anyway, we'll start with you and see if we can get Zeke figured out. He may have to, turn his unit off and start again and see if he can get a better connection and call the bird people. So, Scott, tell me what's going on. What you guys doing out there with the AC? Are you busy? Is it getting busy? Has it been busy?
Oh, it's incredibly busy. It's the time of year that we wait for and that we dread all at the same time.
Sure, sure. So I wanted to this week we can maybe talk about a few things. I've been hearing a couple of things here and there. Obviously, if anyone has any questions pertaining simple stuff or what you might think is complex about air conditioning, you could certainly give us a call and let these guys answer it. We'll take any home improvement questions. We'll be glad to have those. Again, the number is 704-570-1110, and we'll take our calls there. But I've been hearing a little bit about the size of the units. I know there's some stuff going on with trying to increase the efficiencies of the less efficient units, but are they making the footprint of the units bigger, Scott?
Is that something that's it won't happen as much with this current change that's coming.
Uh-huh.
It's the one that's going to follow it in 2025. They're going to change refrigerants all over again. And the way it sounds right now is the new refrigerant could actually be propane based.
Yeah.
So I've yet to read too much about it, but it just makes me wonder what other type of sensors they're going to force us to install to utilize this new refrigerant.
Right. Now that's not really new technology, is it? Units that used to run from? I mean, I'm sure it's more improved, but didn't they used to have units that ran from propane?
They did. Propane, ammonium glycol, a lot of chemicals have been used in the process, but not in your home. Most of those units were used in a commercial environment.
Sure.
Or industrial. You know, anytime there's change like that, it just creates a little, trepidation.
Right.
And what's really, what's really been bad is just the continuous increase in the cost. Thanks to the supply chain issues, or so we're being told, is that's why the equipment is continually increasing.
Yeah, sure is. Everything. Well, along with everything. So I guess everybody's got to be on board with that. Not sure how that's all going to work out in the end, but I guess we'll find out when we get to the end, won't we?
Well, I hope we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
So I'm
I don't know, is that Zeke's unit? Well, we got that dialed back down. Yeah, so that was I was wondering, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we when we get through this next break, because it's coming up on us pretty quick. But I was wondering, what was the reason for going back to a propane based refrigerant? That was one of the things that I didn't understand. You know, especially with, you have to have propane. We know it's part of the natural gas family. It comes out of the ground, and I thought they were trying to get away from that, but now they're going to go to a propane refrigerant. Was wondering where that comes from and what was behind it. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, if you know about that, if you guys know anything about that or what the reasoning is behind it. I'm sure there's got to be some explanation given when they're going to switch refrigerants again, because it seems like we just got that all settled.
They went away from R22. They got away from fluorocarbons,
right?
Chlorine, and now they're just getting away from fluorocarbons. So it's basically a healthier version for the atmosphere that does not have all of the, you know, the side effects that could create global warming. So could cause other issues, but it's far healthier for Mother Nature.
Right. So they say. Yeah, and I wonder about the whole thing anyway a little bit, but you know, especially when I see them really slamming natural gas and, you know, what a pollutant it is. Well, wasn't it not too long ago that, and the fact is you could still go walk into Home Depot and buy a natural gas heater that you hang on the wall that doesn't have to be vented. You could still buy gas logs, so not sure where the pollution stuff comes in with that. But anyway, the CO2 thing, you know what I'm saying? This is just kind of silly. But anyway, that's not for me. I'm not a scientist. Hey, we are at a break, so let's do that. Let's get a few messages in here, and we'll come right back with more home improvement after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I hear Zeke's birds. Do I hear Zeke?
I'm here, but there's no noise in the background, so I don't know. I never did hear Scott.
Okay, well, he's here. Right.
I'll just try calling in, see if that works better.
They're working on it, so do that. Disconnect and try it again.
Nice.
All right, thanks, Zeke. Sorry about that, folks. A little technical difficulty. Zeke's on Zeke's out of town, so he's remote and having a little trouble. I don't know where that's coming from. Scott, you don't have some birds. You're joking with us, do you?
I wish.
especially those kinds, right? Anyway, so before the break, and by the way, lines are open, 704-570-1110. We've got the HVAC guys in to get their take on things and what's going on. We'd be glad to hear from you with that or any home improvement questions you might have. So do that. Get lined up. I know it's a big vacation week, so probably going to be a little slow. It was last week as well. That's good. I'm glad people are taking a little break. So, Scott, right before the break, we're talking about the potential switch for Freon. I guess it's going to happen. Is that right?
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's definitely coming now, and there may be other refrigerants that other manufacturers use, but it seems like the majority are going to use the new. It's called R454B, and it's not toxic. It's mildly flammable, but it's just one of those unknowns that we'll find out more as it becomes closer to a reality.
Right. So is that when is this the cause of the size of the units that are going to the outdoor units is what we're talking about? Some things that I heard was the footprint would be enlarged, and is that because of the new refrigerant, or is it because of the efficiencies, or that they're going to mandate?
a lot of the equipment has been growing because when we switched from R22 to our current refrigerant R410A, they really didn't make a lot of changes to the equipment. They may have changed the compressor and kept the rest of the equipment the same, meaning the indoor coil and the outdoor coil.
Mm-hmm.
But the pressure on our current refrigerant was so much higher. You know, internal operating pressure was almost double what it was for the prior refrigerant. And it started causing leaks. I mean, everyone that's heard, you know, about evaporator coil failures, it was so common that what the manufacturers have done is switched from, you know, copper clad coils to an all aluminum coil. So it used to be steel plates, copper tubing with aluminum fins. And when you have three different metals that, you know, expand and contract at different rates, that partially led to some of the coil failures.
Mm-hmm.
So by converting to all aluminum coils, you know, aluminum is stronger, but it's not as good of a conductor. So the coils had to get larger.
Okay.
So the indoor coils have gotten larger and the outdoor coils have gotten larger because they've primarily gone to all aluminum indoor and outdoor.
I see.
I don't know the profile of the new refrigerant as far as how much internal operating pressure we'll have, but it looks like aluminum coils are here to stay.
So
they're far less likely to fail.
A little trial and error. So we practice medicine, we practice law, now we're going to practice HVAC equipment.
Well, I'm sure they've been testing these units for years.
Oh, I bet.
It down to what, but we end up being the practitioners because when there's an issue, it, you know, it falls to us.
Sure. Sure. Makes sense. That makes a little more sense, for the footprint. So that's been the first time that it's been explained to me that way. And it really does make sense. So if the coils have to be bigger, then obviously the unit's going to have to be bigger. And that is, that was one of the concerns is that as these get larger, placing them on people's properties that had existing units that were smaller or they've grown shrubs or things that are too close to it, we have to make sure that there's room for it, right? So you meet your clearances and all that.
Well, if your house is more than, you know, 15 years old or really 12 years old, you know, odds are that the new unit could be considerably larger than the old one that's, you know, currently sitting there.
Right. Yeah. Make that, and I'm kind of a firm believer in making that area. I don't know. I mean, I think a little more time should be devoted to that area as far as the placement of the unit. You know, what drives those decisions sometimes baffles me, but keeping it clear, keeping it safe, and making sure that it has, you know, plenty of airflow so that it operates properly is kind of a big deal. I put a little thought when I built my house into that, and I tried to put all that type of stuff in one area. So panels, gas meters, everything kind of near each other. It kind of made sense to me, but even keeping it out of the afternoon sun, if you will. So I placed it on the east side of the house versus the west side of the house. Although we have to look at it more often because it's on our driveway side. But sometimes I think that's a good thing because I can hear it, I can see it, and I can pay attention to it. Where if it was on the other side of the house, only time I would ever see it's when I cut the grass. So
it's just surprising to me how few people decide to put them in the front of the house and put them on full display.
Right, you know, decorate them up, put a little.
They're so attractive.
Yeah, put a light on them. Yeah, you never hear about that. I wonder if Zeke's doing that now. Zeke, are you guys doing it? Do we have Zeke?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay, can you hear Scott?
Yes, I can.
All right, yep. Well, good. Well, it sounds like we got it fixed up.
Figured out.
Very good. And the birds have calmed down. So, are those angry birds?
I don't know. I never heard them, so I'm not sure what that was.
They're still in the background. I can hear them. So that's a Florida bird. I can tell. But good. Glad you're with us. Lines are open, folks. 704-570-1110. We're talking home improvement. Little emphasis on air conditioning. It is that time of year. I'm getting ready to have my system serviced for the spring. We called it in a month ago, but I've been kind of waiting because the cottonwood trees is the last time I cleaned them. We cleaned them a little earlier, and then I ended up cleaning them again myself because the cottonwood got all over the coils. Do you guys see that or have a problem with that?
All the time.
That's a constant battle.
Yes.
And most of the units are now enclosed.
Yes.
But at least your unit has louvered panels, so you can take out screws on one side, lift up, and swing it out and clean it.
Yes, which is exactly what I did. So we have a mini split in Virginia's office, and then we have the unit for the main part of the house, which has a pretty big footprint, I have to say. It's a pretty good-sized unit. I was shocked when it was set in place, but I'm certainly not shocked. I'm not shocked anymore by how efficient it is and how comfortable the house is. What a great system it's been.
Or how quiet it is.
It is very quiet. And one day I walked, when I set the you taught me about the dehumidification process with this Lennox unit, and you set that up for the unit, and the house, the thermostat was satisfied and it was cool, but the unit was running, and I walked by the unit and the blade was just barely spinning, and I was like, oh no, this thing's, something's wrong. No, that's what it was. It's just barely running, but it's dehumidifying the house. What a great concept.
Well, I mean every house should have it. When you can control, it's, well, just like next week when it's going to be so hot, and you say, hey, it's going to feel like 100 today, but the temperature may only be 91.
Right.
It's all of that humidity that makes us uncomfortable. So if you can take that out separately, then instead of just having control of temperature, it's just night and day comfort difference.
Yeah, it really is. And then of course you pay a little bit more on the front end, but the payback is fairly quick, because I've been very pleased with our utility bills at this house. And you know, you guys used to hear me say that when we talked about building it, that we wanted to be able to heat it with a candle and cool it with an ice cube. And that's a little far-fetched. I mean, I wish we could do that, but we got pretty close, and it's not costing us a fortune to operate it, which is really nice. So we got to get ready for a break here. So we'll keep that in mind. We got a caller. We got some folks calling in, so we'll get that taken care of. But in the meanwhile, we're going to take a break, get some messages in here, some news. And when we come back, we're going to talk more home improvement, and then we're going to talk HVAC, so air conditioning mainly. If you have any questions about that, give us a call, 704-570-1110. And we'd love to hear from you. And after we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Seeker Costa with the Costa.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Okay, we're back. Hey, it's time for the Home Depot product of the week. It's a MyQ Smart Garage Door Control. This thing's kind of cool because you can use it with most garage doors that were made after 1993. So works off of your Wi-Fi and uses Bluetooth, and you can download the app and to your phone, your smartphone, and then what it does is it allows you to control your garage door. So you can open and close it from somewhere. It'll notify you if it's being opened or closed. So if your kids are coming home and you'll get a notification that it opens and that it closes. You can use it. You can have packages delivered, and they can set it up so they can open it. Pretty neat stuff. The feature I have a similar. It's built into the system that we have, but it's nice because I don't know if you guys ever, this ever happens to you guys, but sometimes I forget to close the garage door at night and would go to sleep, wake up in the morning, the door would be open all night, and you think, oh, well, that was real smart because we didn't lock the door, the pedestrian door coming in the house. So with these, you can actually set a timer and it'll close the doors at the same time every day. So if you have them open, you know, if you come home and you leave your doors open, you can set it for 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, whenever. Pretty neat. But anyway, it's the MyQ smart garage door control. They're available at Home Depot, and I think they're under $50. So pretty neat.
I've got one. I think it's really cool. It comes with a strobe light, just so if you're far enough away, the strobe light comes on just to let you know that it's in the process of getting ready to close the door.
Exactly. Mine does the same thing, so that you know that it's getting ready to happen. So a lot of really neat features, and I like it. I think it's worth it, worth probably every penny. So if you don't have those type of features with your garage door and it's after 1993, chances are it'll work. There's something to do with the sensors. But of course, if you bought it and it didn't work, you can always take it back. So,
a good backup if the battery happens to die on your in-car push button garage door opener.
It is kind of nice. And then just being able to monitor it, knowing if it's gone up and down or what's going on, especially if you have kids coming home you can also issue a code, or you can open it for somebody that's coming over to drop something off. So kind of neat, or service tech or whatever. So very cool. So check that out. The MyQ smart garage door control, available at Home Depot. All right. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're talking home improvement, a little emphasis on the air conditioning at this time of year. And we'd love to hear from you. So we were kind of going down the line about propane, the potential for, or really, I guess it is going to have, it's inevitable, and some other types of refrigerant as well. And so I guess what we finally concluded was that it's to try to get the pressures down. Is that what it is?
That, and to get rid of the hydrofluorocarbons.
Hydrofluorocarbons, okay. So, yeah, because the ozone is healed. I heard that. They said it's closed up.
The one thing you can count on is you can't count on
it.
Status quo remaining.
Right. Well, I have my own reasons why I think they are thoughts of why they do these things. So, and maybe it's just good for the economy. Who knows? It's certainly not good for a lot of people's pocketbooks. I know that. But anyway, so then we kind of drifted into the unit and getting them cleaned. And Scott, you said it, and Zeke, you've talked about it multiple times too. With these units operating at higher pressures, it's even more important to service them and to make sure they're clean. And I had mentioned the cottonwood trees, because they really, it's so light that it just pulls it right to the unit. And I think because of where mine are positioned, it's probably worse here than it was at my last place, because they was really in a fenced in patio and it didn't have much chance. I don't know why the wind direction, it didn't draw it in there. We didn't have a lot of anything that blew into our patio. So, and I'm a little more open now. So, but it's important to make sure that coil's clean, right?
Everyone understands that they need to change their filter.
Right.
Well, basically when that cottonwood gathers on that outdoor unit, it creates like a blanket across that coil.
Mm-hmm.
Which is almost the same as having a dirty filter in the house. If the outdoor unit doesn't have good airflow across it, it cannot, remove the heat from the house.
Right.
And it will increase the operating pressures and shorten the life of the equipment.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. When we first pulled the covers off of that unit, I was shocked. Now, we had been under construction, so it was coated with some red dirt, had plenty of red dirt and dust on it. And that's another thing. If you have some construction going on at your house, and whether it be grading, or if you had a carpenter that was near that unit and that unit's running, it draws all that stuff in across those coils, doesn't it?
It does. And a lot of people that had R22 units, could have just gotten spoiled, because it worked at such a lower pressure that the outdoor coil could be impacted, or even in some cases we found where people would put mulch 4, 5, 6 inches above the base of the unit, basically diminishing the size of the equipment, and it would still operate, and it would operate well. It's just with this change to the new refrigerant, which is coming to an end, but it's just night and day operation, and the equipment won't last as long. It's like doubling your heart rate.
Right.
You know, you would think it would have to shorten your lifespan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my advice to most of my customers and to our listeners is really what I've always done is create a gravel area around the unit. So I'll put some type of a border up, lay some type of fabric to keep the weeds from coming through, and then put some type of gravel. Now, if you like your AC guys, you use pea gravel. If you don't care too much for them, then you use like marble chips or something that's really sharp. So when they kneel down, just kidding. So, but that does a couple of things. You know, it gives you clear view of the unit. It keeps it clean. It kind of determines its footprint and it keeps any shrubbery or anything from growing up against it. And then if you don't have weeds and all of that growing up around the unit, you're not as likely to go up there with a weed eater or spray chemicals on the unit. Just kind of give it its own space. And I think it probably is better for the system. I mean, it just simplifies things.
And the biggest difference about the change when we were – the phase from R22 to R410A is they started manufacturing equipment that utilized – R410A in 1996. They did not phase out R22 until, at least in use in equipment, until 2010.
Right.
So, you know, all the way through 2009 and probably early 2010, you could still have had a unit installed in your house that had, you know, the old R22. The new phase in is not going to be as drawn out.
Oh, it's going to be a little quicker.
Yeah, 2023 is the current date, and that may get pushed back a little bit. But so, I mean, that's just next year.
Wow.
That doesn't give us near as much time to get used to the new product. So we'll have to do a lot of our own testing and training.
Sure.
Before we start installing it in customers' homes.
Wow. All right. Well, let's hold that thought, and because we want to talk a little bit more about that and what that's going to mean, and if folks are contemplating new units and all that, so we can throw all that in there. We got to take a break though. Snuck right by it. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
I hear you now. We can hear you, Zeke. So
yeah, we'll keep trying.
We're glad you joined us, man. I know you're on vacation, and we appreciate you still jumping in there with us. So Zeke, we were talking before the break about this new change. What are you hearing about the change, and what do you guys think this is going to mean to people that are getting ready to buy a unit? You know, do you wait? Obviously the refrigerants aren't going to work one with the old refrigerants, not going to work with the new units. We're going to go through that whole thing again. Is that what's going to happen? Other than Scott said, it's going to be faster transition.
It is a faster, facing out of the, 410. Well, we had 14, 15 years to phase out the 410. I mean, the R22. Now the 410 is going to be phased out a lot quicker. And I guess the biggest thing is, major repairs. Because let's say if you have a unit now that you have to replace your indoor coil, do you spend the money to replace that coil, knowing that, if something happened to a unit a year or two down the road, that money was just down the drain because now that coil will not work with the new refrigerant. But it just changes, and I think we'll be fine. We'll just keep going and installing the new system. So.
Okay. So kind of going to be in the same boat that we were in. It's not going to be much different. So, I guess if you know, you don't want to tell people to hold on. I mean, if you have to have a unit and the newer refrigerant is not really available, is it available now, or is it still in the works? The new refrigerant. No, not hearing anybody now. So,
well, it's not available, David. I just can't hear Zeke.
Okay. So it's not available yet. So if something's going on with your unit and you have to replace it, you don't have any choice. You have to do it. Certainly, they're going to give enough time, once they introduce it to give the average lifespan of a unit before they phase it out, I would think. But, you know, I'm thinking common sense here that maybe that's not going to be part of it. Is that anywhere close to accurate, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm sure it'll take some time once they actually start manufacturing the equipment. It's not available to us. Now, the refrigerant is available, but the equipment itself has yet to make it to the marketplace.
Okay, so we're not there yet. So, you know, I guess the conversation, maybe it's coming. So I don't know if we want to say it's premature, but I guess we got to let people know so they can make those decisions and start thinking about it. But I mean, I guess there's reasons for it. I don't know. I don't want to get into that. So, I don't want to get hate mail.
I mean, if you needed a new unit in the next year or so, it would still be on the R410A, which will be readily available for the next, you know, few decades.
All right. Well, so we're in good shape. So, you know, if you're at that point and you're still running an R22 unit and you've got to switch over, you know, don't hesitate. Go ahead and do it and just follow the recommendations of kind of what we've been talking about. It's the same thing. Make sure you get your unit serviced. At least the air conditioning. You know, if you're running a heat pump, you really need it. You need it twice a year, and you really should have your, if you have a gas furnace, you really should get that checked too before the winter starts, right? I mean,
no doubt.
I think you got to take care of them. I mean, you'll get hot and sweaty if you don't have air conditioning, but if your gas unit's not running properly, you could have bigger problems than being hot and sweaty, right?
No doubt.
So,
I mean, we use far more air conditioning here in Charlotte, mm-hmm. in our area, than we do heat.
Right. Well, your analogies,
about 50% more.
Yeah, your analogies with that are spot on too, about how much it runs and why we should service and take care of them. I was talking about cottonwood trees, and the debris. So, you know, we go from pollen to you go through the fall and you have stuff that's fallen down in the unit, and then you have the pollen, and then you have cottonwood trees to finish it off. That's let you know that we're going into summer, and all of that stuff can just cause havoc with those outdoor units. So certainly worth calling your whoever you're using, your HVAC contractor, to come out and check those systems and make sure that they're clean and that they're working properly. And of course, you know, if you don't have someone, call these guys, you know, Charlotte Comfort Systems or Acosta Heating and Cooling, and Electrical. I always forget about that. But you'll have somebody you can trust. And the main thing is that you're getting it taken care of. So just pay attention to that, because it is truly important. And like I said earlier, I got to see firsthand how built up the debris was on my brand new unit, and I was shocked. You know, here's the Mr. Contractor out there, and the guy pulls the cover off and he just kind of looked over his glasses at me. I was like, oops. So pay attention to that, because it's you know, that would make me sick to cause that brand new unit to have a big problem because I didn't get somebody to come out there and take it apart and wash it off as it needed to be. Fairly important.
I mean, we have brutal summers here.
Yes.
You know, most people change their oil in their car every 5,000 miles. Well, the average person puts about 500 hours a year on their car, and they'll change their oil, you know, three times.
Yeah.
Air conditioner and heating unit is going to run about 2,500 hours a year. So you know, five times the number of hours of usage, but a lot of times people just don't have it serviced.
Yeah, and I think the thing too is that we're so used to it now. I mean, if you're used to not having air conditioning and you can adapt to that. That's fine. I mean, you can stand it. But if you're used to it, you know, I mean, we didn't always have air conditioning. You know, people used to build their houses underneath big shade trees and try to position it so they could open the windows on one side high and one low and let air blow through it. And that's how they lived. But now we're used to it. And man, when you don't have air conditioning, it makes a big difference. It's like, it's just misery. So pay attention to it. And not only that, I mean, it's as you guys talk all the time, it's comfort, but you know, it's also your pocketbook, you know, comfort for your pocketbook. And the last thing you need right now with as expensive as everything is to have a problem with your unit because you didn't do your service on it. So probably worth it. Probably worth
it. Preach on, David.
I'm just saying, you know, I just can't tell you how many houses I go to and I see the units and they're overgrown or there's, you know, you could tell they're not being taken care of or they're all beat up with the weed eater and the coils are all closed up. It just, you know, or a kid has spelled his name in it. Have you seen that before?
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah, well, listen, we talked ourselves right up to another break. We're getting pretty close. Listen, we have lines open, 704-570-1110. Call in here and save us. Give us some questions to answer. That's what we're here for. AC, a lot of AC questions would be great, and we'd these guys will be glad to answer them. Other than that, any home improvement questions, we'd love to hear from you. With that said, we're gonna take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it, as always. Give us a call, 704-570-1110, answering all your home improvement questions. If you have any questions when we're not here, go to AskJohnAndDave.com, hit the questions button. We'll be glad to answer those there, and we'll get you an answer as quick as we can. And then don't forget the WBT app. If you're not able to listen, you can go back and listen to podcasts, or you can listen live with that app. So if you don't have good reception or you're maybe out of town, away from the signal, you can pick it up there too. So I guess that's for those of us that don't have a life. I don't know. What do you guys think? So guys, tell me about is it getting crazy again, or is it like it's always been as far as service work and new systems? What's the skinny on that?
Crazy busy. I mean, just we've got probably 1,500 service contract customers that we have to service, you know, plus failures and then repairs. So it's definitely keeping us busy.
That's good. That's good. So there are people out there taking care of the service. That's what it sounds like. Or getting it done. Zeke, you guys in the same boat?
Oh, yeah, we're in the same boat. And, you know, we picked up a lot of, every time we put a unit in, we put a, you know, basically an agreement with it. And then they renew as the year comes to an end. And a very large majority of them stay on as maintenance customers. So we get the constantly growing the number of maintenance agreements.
Right.
And I'm down here in Florida, and we got cooler weather here than you guys are going to have next week. I mean, I was looking at the forecast, and they're going high 90s and even 100 next week. The average year is, you know, mid-80s.
Ah, can't beat that.
No.
Can't beat that, especially when you have the ocean right out there, right?
Right.
Exactly. And all those birds. And you can't hear those birds?
No, I don't have any birds. Just the ocean. I can hear the
Scott, can you hear the birds, or is this just me hearing it?
I can't hear Zeke.
Oh, so you can't hear Zeke, so, well, anyway, there's some whistling going on there somewhere. I don't know if somebody's messing with us or what. Maybe.
Might be Zeke.
Might be.
Beach strollers.
All I got is the waves hitting the shore.
Oh, man, making me jealous. Listen, let's get Donna in here. Donna has a question. Hey, Donna, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Thank you. I have a small home with four units. It's a mini split.
Mm-hmm.
And one unit is in the back porch with a bathroom. Then I have one in each bedroom, which is two bedrooms. And I have one in the living room kitchen area. And with the heat like it is, I'm wondering if I am stressing one area of the house by only running one in very hot weather. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I have the living room kitchen unit on, then I have the rest of them off.
Right.
You should put the other areas at a warmer temperature, but, you know, I would just pay close attention to what the humidity levels are in the other areas of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You're not stressing the equipment, but you don't want the humidity levels to go above 55%. That's when things start to grow that none of us want to, you know, inside of our house.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that's Donna, that's probably the biggest thing that people forget about with our AC units. It's not just about the cooling. It's about taking the humidity out. And, you know, Scott and Zeke and John and I have always stressed that people should leave it at a minimum temperature. Don't turn the unit off, but at least let it run some so that you're getting rid of the humidity. Because Scott's exactly right. The amount of money that you're saving by not running those other three zones is not going to cost you near as much as it is if you start getting a mold issue.
Right.
And Donna, it's a whole lot cheaper to maintain a temperature than it is to achieve one. So if you had someone coming over and you wanted to cool one of those bedrooms, it could take it hours to cool it off.
Right.
Versus so, just putting on a lower temperature and letting it maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that answers my next question then, because I was going to ask, when I'm going out of town, you know, for a couple of days, would it be better to just turn them all off? Or leave them on.
We never recommend that just for those reasons. And then what Scott says too is that, you know, just you have to remember when you turn everything off and everything in the house takes on not only temperature but moisture, and then you have to mm-hmm. you have to give all that back, and it takes a good while for that unit to catch back up. So,
and probably more expensive too to do that.
Well, it's all at once and it's running. It's going to run continually. You know, it's kind of akin when people keep turning the thermostat down, thinking it's going to get colder faster. It doesn't happen. It's kind of like keep pushing the elevator button. It's not going to get there any faster. So,
yeah, I understand. How about the other thing about the mini split? What kind of Freon, or does it run on? I guess it does run on Freon. You were talking about that, and I missed some of that earlier with the R22 and the R410.
Yes.
What does this
So your mean? Unit would use R410, and when the change happens, Mitsubishi is going to use 454B.
They're going to use what now?
But that shouldn't affect you at all, because your your current equipment probably has many more years of life, and the equipment that's currently used will
be available
for decades to come.
Okay, so that's not going to bother. I'm not going
to. No, you don't need to worry about that at this point.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, I appreciate it very much. That has answered my questions about that, and I will check that humidity more.
I think I'm locked up.
Very good. Thanks, Donna. We appreciate the call. Okay, with that That said, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more home improvement after this. And welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we're trying to get Scott dialed in, and he's having a little difficulty as well. So we'll wait for him to get dialed back in. In the meanwhile, let's speak with Chip. Hey, Chip, how can we help?
Yeah, I got 2 3-ton units, and I'm building a deck. It's just about complete. Just a few more boards will be complete, but it's about 5 foot high, and my heat pumps will be under the deck. There's going to be about, I'm guessing, 16 inches clearance between the top of the heat pump and the deck, but it's got plenty of room around it to breathe. Is that going to be okay, or is it going to affect the heat pumps?
It's going to have some effect on it because it throws the air up, and it's going to hit 16 inches. It's just not enough. Most units, if you look at the installation instructions, recommend at least 4 feet from the top of the unit to any obstruction.
Correct. What effects would it have on it?
Well, it hit that air coming out of the top of it in the summertime. The air is hot, and it'll hit the bottom of the deck. And it'll bounce back down, so it recirculates. Now it makes the unit feel like if it's hotter outside than it actually is, so it cuts down on your efficiency or capacity of the unit. And the same thing in the wintertime, that air goes up the top of the unit, it's colder, and then it comes back around, so it's a colder air, so there's less heat in the air to put back into the house.
Well, that side of the house, that back side of the house, it never sees sunshine anyway. And like I say, you can walk under it. Like, it's 5 foot high, so you can walk under it. You know, some people can walk under it. It's pretty high. And it's, okay, so, but it ain't going to cause it to burn up, is it, or nothing?
Well, it's going to cut down on the life expectancy of the unit because it's putting the unit into a stressful situation. Like I said, it's going to
do they make a
work?
Do they make a scoop or anything that you could put to deflect that air out? Would that be worth him trying something like that?
You could. I mean, I've seen it where they put like an elbow out of the side of it and blow the air up to the side. But the other thing is, maybe even taking the boards right above it and drill, some holes in it so have some air that'll go, through the board, make mm-hmm. the board holes in the board so
sure.
Blow the air up.
So I guess another thing you could do, Chip, in Zeke's thought process there is potentially cut those deck boards maybe out and put some type of expanded metal across there that's strong enough so that can vent. If you start looking like you're in trouble or you see that it's not cooling properly, there may be some options there for you. So, 'cause it sounds like the deck is in place and about done. So,
I left out two boards right now. All I got to do is just screw them in. But I do have cracks between the boards, So,
yeah.
It's
just not enough. I think it's – but, time will tell, and you should be able to you should be able to see. I've seen some people ruin some units over that, and they have to work a little harder. So pay attention to that, and you may even want to put I don't know if that'll help any or not. If you put a thermometer down there just to see what the temperature is, but you'll know if it's not cooling. What it's been doing in the past, and you'll see what's going to happen here in the future. Next this coming week will be a good test.
Yeah, well, like I say, I've had the boards up over it, but I left out two, and it had left out two boards, and it hadn't had no effect on it.
Well, maybe you could do something like that and build a false planter or something and allow that to continue to ventilate.
All right, well, I appreciate your advice.
All right, man. Good luck. Let us know. All right. Chip is gone. Line's open, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement. If you got any air conditioning questions or furnace, any of that kind of good stuff. We'd be glad to have your calls. So I don't know if Scott, did we find Scott yet? Nope. Scott's out. So he can give us a call. He can call on the 800 number if he needs to, and we'll get you back in that way, Scott. So Zeke, I know you've seen that before where people have closed off their units, and it can really cause some problems depending on how much airflow you cut off, right?
It does, yes, definitely. And like I said, even, you know, and I'm not sure how, you know, if he's going to have that deck inspected, whether the you know, inspection department will catch it or not.
Right.
I know if we were to put an air conditioning unit under there,
they wouldn't allow it.
They wouldn't allow it,
right?
Because it wouldn't meet the manufacturer specifications. But the deck guy might not be looking at that part of it. The other thing you're talking about, you know, putting it, leaving an opening. I've seen it where people have done just that. Just leave a 2x2, you know, opening on the top, and then just put like a floor return register that you would have on your floor for, you know, for the return.
Okay.
And just blow the, you know, that way the air can come through.
Sure. That would make sense. Yeah, I think anything that you could do that's strong enough that if you were to step on it, you would be fine. And then of course you could camouflage it. You could, I mean, the truth is he could build a bench over top of it and leave the bottom open, and that would give him a couple more feet of chance for air to flow up and out. Of course, it'd be probably a little warm sitting there in the summer. But anything that you can do, but you know, he'll know. He'll know this summer. He'll know next week probably.
Right.
Is what I'm thinking. So anyway, we're here answering your home improvement questions. Give us a call, 704-570-1110, and we'd be glad to have them. And then Zeke, what else is anything else going on that we ought to direct people to or get their attention to? I know we talked about the refrigerants changing again. We know it's a little bit of time off, but it's going to be happening in the near future. So I guess we've established that if you have to buy a new unit now, you should go ahead and do it. Don't wait because the equipment's not available, and you would be probably miserable waiting, right?
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, you have to go ahead and do it. And like we were talking about, you know, the refrigerant, the 410 refrigerant, will be available for years. It's not like Card 22 that they actually put a date that they cannot even manufacture it after a certain. They haven't even come up with those dates yet, as far as, you know, completely phasing out the 410. So you'll have years to availability for 410. It's just changes that are coming, and just like cars keep going up on, you know, miles per gallon, they're just raising the air conditioning and heating efficiencies where you have to, you know, adapt to it.
Right. Yeah, boy,
constant changes.
Yeah, it's always changing. It's just hard. It's just hard on the average person, I guess, you know, the pocketbook. So we keep going through these changes, but hopefully it'll be a painless transition, and we can get to it. And, you know, I guess if it's helpful and, you know, if it's more efficient, you know, if you're going to pay one way or the other, you know, you're either going to pay for it in the actual energy costs, or you're going to pay for it in the unit to use less energy. So that's kind of where we ended up was, you know, we have a lower power bill, electricity bill and gas bill, but we paid a little bit more on the front end to be able to get that. So
to get the better unit.
Yeah,
right.
I think it just keeps it pays you back. So if the unit stays and lasts for 15 years, you know, I think we're in pretty good shape. So, I mean, compared to where we were at in our townhouse, you know, we have a little bigger space, obviously, and the payback has been pretty good. So so far, so we're catching up pretty quick. So no worries there. All right, man, we have talked ourselves right to another break, so let's do that. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'd be glad to talk to you about home improvement or some air conditioning, and we will be back after these messages. Welcome back. We're in the final lightning round of this home improvement show. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I think we might have lost Scott for the day. He's had trouble trying to get back in here, so hopefully we'll catch up with him the next time. We appreciate it. And let's do our Home Depot product of the week. We like to do this twice just in case folks didn't hear the first one. This week we're talking about the MyQ Smart Garage Door Control. This control, I think it's about $30. But what it allows you to do is it allows you to buy this device, and even if you don't have a Chamberlain garage door opener, this thing works with almost all door openers. I think it's after 1993. Works through your Wi-Fi, obviously, and you download the app to your phone. But it allows you to control your garage door from your phone. It allows you to see if your garage door is open or closed. You can open or close it. You can set it on a timer. You can allow people to come in. You can open it for them. I think with an addition of a camera, Zeke, on this thing would be pretty cool. You could see what's going on and who's coming in your garage. So, pretty neat product. So check that out. It's the MyQ Smart Garage Door Control. It's available at the Home Depot, and I think it is $29. So it's about $30. So, pretty neat little device. And like I said, it works with most all other garage door brands. So check that out.
That's pretty nice. I know we had an issue with Lauren's house. The keypad was not working, and I had to call her and have her open the garage door for us when I brought the grandkids home the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get in the garage, and the keypad just wasn't working. I called her. She opened the door. We were in.
Yeah, so, makes a big difference, you know. And if other folks in the house have a smartphone too, so they can download the app as well. So everyone would have their own garage door opener, and it's in your pocket. So kind of neat. It's just endless what they can do with these smartphones and Wi-Fi and all that. So we're pretty fortunate with that. Lines open 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. Got an email from Tom, and Tom had a flood a while back and talks about that they had removed the vapor barrier when they took out the insulation, and I guess the insulation was reinstalled, but a vapor barrier was not reinstalled, and he's having new hardwood floors put in the house, and his hardwood floor installer is telling him that they would prefer that there be a vapor barrier down, and that's actually what the National Hardwood Flooring Association recommends. What they really recommend is that you have a moisture content of less than 12% in the wood in the crawl space, and that's pretty easy to achieve in this climate with open vents. So you're going to probably be in the 15, 16, 18% and sometimes beyond, which is not a good thing. What happens is when that moisture is coming up out of the ground, Tom, it's being absorbed by all of the wood in the crawl space, and it'll eventually will make its way through the plywood and into the hardwoods, and now the hardwood floors are not stable anymore, so they're constantly moving, and that's not a good thing. So you don't want them cupping, and then of course the movement also can help as it expands and contracts will actually loosen the fasteners eventually, and then what happens is your floors start squeaking all over again. So it's a good idea to put the vapor barrier down, and I would cover 100% of it, as a matter of fact. And I would also get a wireless weather station or a temperature / hygrometer that you can monitor so that you can see what the temp and what the humidity is in your crawl space. We recommend that a lot. I think it's the only way you really know what's going on in your crawl space. I have one in my attics, and I have one in the crawl space so that we can we can see what's going on. It's pretty important to know. And you can always tell if there's a big spike in humidity in a crawl space could indicate a leak too. So it's almost like having a leak detector as well. So yes, install the poly, the 6 mil poly, cover 100% of the area, and then add the weather station. I think it'd make a big difference and give you a little peace of mind, because it kind of allows you to see what's going on without actually having to go down there all the time. You do have to change the batteries in those wireless units, folks. So I don't want to mislead someone to thinking you never have to go down there again, because you will. So hope that helps, Tom. If you have any more questions, give us a call. Of course, I'll follow this up with a written email in case Tom's not listening. And we appreciate that. And for those of you that don't know, we do take emails at questions@askjohnanddave.com. You have to spell out the and. Or the easiest way, just maybe go to the website, askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button. Fill out the form. Let us know where you're at, proximity. We don't need your address or anything. But it's nice to know if you're, we get lots of emails from different parts of the country and the world, and it's kind of nice to know what the climate is and where you're at. And sometimes that makes a difference in how we answer the question. So, all right. With that said, Zeke, I'm flapping my soup coolers here, and we're going to come right up on a break, but, I know we want to talk a little bit more about some AC and what people ought to be doing. And I think we'll attack that. We'll let you come up with some ideas of what you're thinking and what you're seeing going on out there. So let's do that when we come back. In the meanwhile, give us a call, 704-570-1110. We're going to take a break. We're going to get a few messages in here, and we'll be back with more of Home Improvement with John and Dave after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right, great. We are back, and still hearing those birds. It's a tropical version of the Home Improvement Show. Yes. Let's get Peggy in here. Peggy has a question for us. Peggy, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, glad to have it.
My daughter has a house that's 50 years old, and she's wanting to put in one of these keypads for her front door.
Uh-huh.
Are they universal enough to replace? Like, she does have what do you call it? Anyway, it's a lock with the key.
Sure.
Deadbolt.
So she has a deadbolt. Is it a if it's a standard size, and sometimes in older houses they had a smaller deadbolt on the outside, and they would have a big block on the inside. Is that what she has? It's kind of surface mounted, or is it a regular? Does it look like the deadbolt you have on your house?
It looks like the deadbolt on my house.
Then most likely she can install that keyed entry system.
Oh, okay.
So
because her doorknob is really old, and it's like stripped, like they, you know, her true doorknob.
Right.
So she just uses the deadbolt to lock the door.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that could probably be repaired too. So depending on what it is it a? It's not a. Well, you probably don't know if it has the square key that goes through, and the doorknobs tighten up on it. It's usually reserved for interior doors, but they do make some exterior doors that were like that.
It's real old. All of them, all the doors, you know, they got the glass doorknobs. And
Yeah.
Even inside, a lot of the doors don't. It's like, you know, just. Really old.
Well, you know that those can actually be removed, and she can put modern doorknobs. They just have to be, she has to get someone that could cut the holes. And some people don't know how to do that, but there is methods to be able to use a hole saw and cut those out and put standard doorknobs in those doors.
Okay. We're all somewhat
challenged when it comes to doing home improvements.
I understand. She
it was more like whether could we just buy one of those and replace that deadbolt with the.
Yeah, if it's a standard deadbolt, a 2 3/8 hole, she would be able to do that.
Okay.
And if you know, if you get in there and you figure out that you can't, you can always take it back. You buy it at Home Depot, so.
Yeah, that's true. No, we're big Home Depot people.
All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate your answer.
You're welcome. Good luck with that. Thanks. And I hope if Peggy have any issues with that, they can always send us a note, and that way we'll find out. We'll be able to find out if we can help them, and I'm sure we can. Zeke, real quick, Zeke, I needed to do this. I had an emailer, Earl, that had written into us about the chemicals that John and I talk about using around the house, and it was Ortho Home Defense Spray on the inside. And I don't know if Earl's listening or not, but the email got bounced back to me 2 or 3 times, so I can't get it through. So I hope you're listening, Earl, or maybe in a podcast. I'm not sure where you're at or where you're from. But anyway, it's Ortho Home Defense on the inside. You could pick that up at Home Depot. And then Triazazide was the outside granules that we recommend. You sprinkle those around the perimeter of the house or in your yard, wherever you want to do it. And it helps keep the outdoor bugs at bay, and then if they make it through that, or ants, especially this time of year, they're trying to come in and find water. The Ortho Home Defense is a great product, and that doesn't stain your woodwork or your floors, your carpet, or anything. You can't see it. It's pet safe and children safe. Obviously, you don't want to be ingesting it, but it's a pretty good product. John and I've been using it for a long time and have never had any problems with it. So, Earl, hope that helps out. Sorry we couldn't get the email back to you, but something to do with this technology. Don't know how that worked, but anyway, got that taken care of. And Zeke, was there anything you wanted to bring up? I know we talked a little bit about doing your annual inspections.
Yeah, I know we talk a lot about it, the maintenance, and you know, sort of keep harping on it. And it's just, if they think about it, they have take their car and they leave the car sitting out in the, you know, driveway for a few weeks, how much dust it collects on it. That's happening to your outdoor unit. And if you don't have it serviced after, you know, a few months, it's, you know, it's got a lot of
just
collects on it.
Well, Chip's question, to better explain it, is that the sides of the unit where the coil is, I guess that's where you draw air through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it pulls it through, and then it blows it straight up, which was Chip's problem, is that that deck is blocking that air, so it's deflecting that hot air back down onto the unit in the summer, and it was a heat pump, so cold air in the winter, right? So if it can't pull the air through past the coils, it's certainly not as efficient as it could be, right?
Right.
So
just recirculating that air around the unit again.
Right. Yeah.
I had another question. Cedar side. I just got an email from, I think it was late last week, about a mosquito. Have you tried their mosquito repellent or?
No, but I've read a lot about their problem. Believe it or not, we don't have a real big mosquito problem at our house. How, I don't know, but that's a whole long story with my neighbor. But anyway, I've read a lot of really good things about Cedar Side, and that's Cedar Side, CIDE.com. They're natural bug repellents. This stuff's all made from cedar oil.
Right.
And it tends to work. So they have the personal spray. You can spray it right on yourself, so you don't have to worry about DEET or anything like that. It's all natural. Now, you do smell like a cedar closet, and if you like that smell, then you're good to go. So you get the aftershave and the mosquito repellent all in one. From my understanding, from what I've read, it does a really good job of keeping those little boogers away. Obviously, the best thing is as you know, we always talk about that as no standing water.
No water, right?
Yeah. You know, that's...
We haven't had any problems so far this year, but I know last year it got fairly bad near the end of the summer.
Right.
I'm not sure why, because we hadn't had that problem in the past, but it did last year, so I was just curious.
Yeah, it's a really, really good product. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I read on their site on a couple of people had done it when they were returning reviews and how they use the product, was some of these folks set up an irrigation system that was separate from their yard, but they put it on their fence and they piped it around. So, and then what they did was they used a pickup and they picked up the product and diluted it and used the irrigation system that they mounted on their fence to spray their yard so they could set this up and do it whenever they needed. Because obviously anything that you spray outside, once it rains, it's going to start to dilute it,
yep.
You know, so you would have to respray. But I thought that was kind of a neat idea. And some of these folks even talk about keeps snakes away, because of the cedar, you know, and then they have the cedar chips. They have, you know, they're rare aromatic. So they don't tend to like that. And of course the bugs don't like it. And then, of course, our favorite product with them is the Cedar Shield. That's the one I have the most experience with. I just purchased my another 5 gallons of it, and that's usually how.
So did I.
that's how I buy it. That's good stuff, man. Yep. And they had a great deal. Memorial Day is usually their best sale, and I think we talked about that Memorial Day weekend. So good discount. So but look for that. But usually when you sign up for the newsletter, they'll send you discounts. And then, of course, you can always go through our website, AskJohnAndDave.com, and we're on an affiliate program with them. So you can also purchase it through there, and then they give us a little credit for it. So anyway, that's all good. Well, Zeke, I know that you're on vacation, and we sure appreciate you calling in and sharing your time with us. And
I enjoy it. Appreciate you having us.
Yep, no worries, and we'll look forward to having you in, and I know you're going to come in next month for me, and
right.
I'm going to be doing it remote, so we're going to be reversing, so we'll see what type of birds I can have in the background.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks, Zeke. We appreciate it. Right. Hey, folks, we appreciate you listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show, and if you have any questions, send it to AskJohnAndDave.com, and in the meanwhile, we believe that the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. Hope you work on that this week, and we'll see you next week right here on Home Improvement with John and Dave.